Good morning, everyone. And welcome to worship in First Doma this morning. Special warm welcome to the Kennedy and Dorian families as they come as we celebrate the baptism of little Abby. So we look forward to that later on in the service. Let's now come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of light and love, in your tender mercy, you sent your Son Jesus to shine on all who sit in darkness and to guide us in the ways of peace. As we face another new year, grant us, we pray, your spirit of wisdom to save us from making wrong choices and to help us to choose the ways of justice and peace. Lead us on this journey of life into another new decade. Help us to shine your light and life and joy into the world wherever we may go. Protect us, we pray, from the attacks of the evil one and from the temptation to take the easy path in life. Loving God, help us to trust in your mercy and grace, and keep us, we pray, from bitterness, envy, or greed. Teach us to be thankful for all that we have, and help us to be generous to others, quick to offer praise and encouragement, and slow to criticise or find fault. Lord, when life is tough, when we are downcast and dismayed, remind us of the hope that we have in Christ. Keep us faithful in times of adversity and fill us with your love which knows no limits. The love, the hope, and the faith which is found in the baby of Bethlehem, the Saviour of the world, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We continue in our worship as we stand to sing our opening hymn, which is a carol, hymn number 307, As With Gladness, Men of Old. And we'll sing verses 1, 4 and 5. Please be seated. I'd like to invite any children who may be down in the congregation who would like to come up to the front so that you're able to see the baptism. Feel free to do so. No worries if you don't and you're happy to sit where you are, that's fine. Also, there's no creche or jigsaw or blast today, but if you have a little one and they're getting a little bit restless and you would like to take them out, then you're more than welcome to do so. And there's a creche facility just through this door, across the corridor and into the committee room. And feel free to get up and go at whatever time you feel is most appropriate for you. But if the child's making a noise, please don't stress. We're very happy to have them here and present with us. I don't think there's anybody coming forward, so I'll just invite Ian and Rachel and little Abby forward. You can take a wee seat. It's lovely to be celebrating the sacrament of baptism once again in First Doma with Ian and Rachel, who stood not too far away from here not so long ago when I married them, just over a year ago. So it's lovely that you're here with your little daughter. Baptism, as we know, is a sacrament which is offered to Christian parents when they bring their children in faith before God, claiming the promises of God. And this morning I'll be talking about a passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, which talks about a three-stranded cord, and I have one on my wrist, and we're going to hopefully make one for Abby this morning, if I can get it out of my pocket. Let me see. And this three-stranded cord, in a way, helps to remind us what baptism is all about. There are three strands in this cord. We have here, representing Abby. And then we have the cord here, which represents Abby's family and friends and the congregation here in First Doma. And then the third strand, which represents God himself. And so in baptism, parents and congregation come before God and make promises to God that they will raise the child in the faith. And God promises that he will grant salvation to Abby when she's old enough to claim that for herself. And so the three-stranded cord is twisted together, because a three-stranded cord is hard to break. And so when those three are wound together, family and friendship and God and the individual, then it's harder to break that cord. And so we trust and pray that Abby all her life will know the support and the strength and the encouragement of family and friends, and of Almighty God and this congregation, and that she will know the strength that comes from being part of the fellowship of the church. So I'm going to ask Rachel if you would hold on to this so that I can plait it for you. And you can maybe use it as a bookmark or a bracelet, whatever. Just going to take a little minute, because we have to twist it all together. And it's important to remember that our faith takes time to develop and to grow as we come before God. And I've got a couple more little bracelets. Maybe Ellie could, Mummy will make Ellie one later. What do you think? Ellie, would you like one? Yes, I can give one to Mummy. Says Ellie, I'd rather have gold bracelets. So here we have this three-stranded cord. Which Daddy can put in his pocket for now. So again, a reminder to us that our faith is woven together in our relationship with God and in our relationship with one another in the fellowship of this church. So we come now to celebrate the sacrament of baptism with the congregation. Please stand. The sacrament is a sign and a seal of the covenant of grace which God has made with us in Christ. But by baptism we are received into his church. Christ brings us from death to life, so that having been raised to life in him, we may live as heirs of his kingdom. The children of Christian parents, though they may not understand these things, are within that covenant and belong to the life of the church. Since Albie is not yet of an age to speak for herself, her parents and this congregation must make promises so that through Christian nurture in the grace of God, she may come to profess her own faith and serve Christ in the church and in the world. So Ian and Rachel, in presenting Albie for baptism, do you profess your faith in God as your Creator and Father, in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, and in the Holy Spirit as your sanctifier and guide? And then will you, by God's help, provide a Christian home and bring Abby up in the worship and teaching of the church so that she may come to know Jesus Christ as her Lord and Saviour? And then to the congregation, your response is, we do. Do you, who now in Christ's name receive Abby into the fellowship of the church, promise with God's help so to order your congregational life and witness that she may grow up in the knowledge and in the love of God and be continuously surrounded by Christian example and influence? Albie, Helen, Dorian, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Albie is now received according to Christ's command into the fellowship of this church, and she is engaged to be the Lord's. So we will sing a blessing upon Albie this day, which is hymn number 288. The Lord bless you and keep you. Please be seated. We join together now in our next hymn, which is hymn 312, Child in the Manger.
Thank you.
John got there a standing ovation. I don't know if you noticed it whilst you were playing. The little man was standing clapping you as you were playing along, so it was lovely. And we do appreciate it. Just want to draw your attention to some notices. The first one relates to a booklet called Proximity. I will be preaching from this from the Sunday the 12th of January. It's an 8-week series which explores God's big story as revealed in the Bible. The sermons focus on themes and opportunities for individuals to learn about how they fit in with God's big story. There's an opportunity for you to read in between the Sunday services and then maybe meet up with a friend or two and chat about what that might mean for you in your life. So if you would like to order a copy of Proximity, please sign the lists in the vestibule. Also on Wednesday the 8th of January between 11 and 1 o'clock, I hope to start a bereavement journey course for anyone who has been bereaved, either recently or someone who's still struggling with grief in their lives. This is an informal 6-week course. We will hold it in the youth room. There's a DVD presentation, a little booklet to follow, and an opportunity to chat with people who are going through similar situations to yourself. So if anybody would be interested in attending that bereavement journey, then please speak directly to me before Sunday the 5th of January. Next Sunday the 5th, Geoffrey Reid, trainee accredited preacher, will be taking the service as part of his course, and I will have the pleasure of sitting in the pews and listening to him as he reveals God's word to us. So next Sunday it'll be Geoffrey Reid taking the service. And from next week, we will have our usual church notices available. I'd now like to invite Edwin Johnson to come forward and lead us in our prayers for others.
Let us pray. We pray for the church, both here in Ireland and throughout the world. We thank you, Lord, for the church that we meet in here on a Sunday morning, for Minister Jane, the members of session and committee, and for Emma, our family and youth worker. We ask that you would encourage and support them throughout the coming year to continue the work that they have started, and that it may flourish for the growth of your kingdom here in Omagh. We pray for our moderator, the Dr. William Henry, for his year in office, and that he may know the support and encouragement of all members of the church as he carries out his duties. Remember those members of our church that serve overseas as missionaries throughout the world. We ask for your protection on them as they work to spread the good news of Jesus' birth at this time of year. We ask that they will feel your Holy Spirit supporting them and guiding them in their work. We remember those at this time of year who are alone at Christmas, whether through separation or bereavement. May your love and comfort them. May your love comfort them and their families. As the holidays come to an end, we ask your blessing on all those who return to full-time education, teachers, classroom assistants, support staff and pupils. May all work together to allow our young people to realise their potential and to fulfil their wishes and dreams. We pray for our emergency services and all the people who work over the holiday period to keep us safe. NHS staff, doctors, nurses, ambulance staff, ancillary staff, and the fire service, as well as members of the PSNI and our security forces, stationed both at home and abroad. We thank you for their service and trust in you, Lord, to bring them home safe to their families. We encourage them with your prayers and thoughts as they cope with increasing workloads and cuts to budgets. We pray for all those people who volunteer in our community, whether in charities, youth groups, sports clubs, churches. We ask you that they will know that their efforts are appreciated and that they know that they make a real difference to the lives of the people they serve. We ask your blessing on Her Majesty the Queen and the members of the royal family, and we thank you for her Christian example as she leads the country. We hope and pray that the new year will bring stability and concord to our country. We pray that representatives of the people will work together to ensure that our services are maintained, waiting lists reduced, and the hopes and wishes of people are realised. Let the Spirit of the Lord be their guide. In the year to come, let us be heard for others. Let us be a voice for those with no voice. Let us be a means for those with no means. Let us be a kind word for those that are lonely and on their own. Let us be a hand of friendship and welcome to those who are excluded, whether from our church or from our society. Let us follow Jesus' example and reach out to others. Do not let us pass by on the other side. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Edwin. We turn now to worship God once again. This is a hymn that we often sing at this time of the year as we look back on the years that have passed and see how the Lord has indeed had his hand upon us and how he will continue to do so in the future. So it's hymn 125, Lord for the Years, and we'll sing verses 1, 3 and 5, hymn number 125. Our scripture reading is from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. This will be read for us by Rachel Patterson and can be found on page 657 of the Bibles in the pews. Let us listen to God's word to us this morning.
I have noticed something else in life that is useless. Here is a man who lives alone. He has no son, no brother. Yet he is always working, never satisfied with the wealth he has. For whom is he working so hard and denying himself any pleasure? This is useless. Two and a miserable way to live. Two are better off than one, because together they can work more effectively. If one of them falls down, the other can help him up. But if someone is alone and falls, it's just too bad, because there is no one who can help him. If it is cold, two can sleep together and stay warm. But how can you keep warm by yourself? Two men can resist an attack that would defeat another one alone. A rope made of three cords is hard to break.
Thank you, Rachel. At this time of year, most people spend some time reviewing the year that has passed and thinking about what the year ahead will bring. And this year will be no exception, except that we also move into a new decade, into the 2020s. I guess for most people, the past year or the past decade has had its shares of joys and opportunities, as well as disappointments and sorrows. 10 years ago, I was about to start my final semester at Union College and was looking forward to graduating in 2010 and then seeing where the Lord would lead me to serve him in his church. And I found myself here in Oma. The next decade will see me, God willing, moving into my 60s. Not that I really want to do that, but that's what's going to happen. And looking forward, hopefully, to retirement. A scary thought indeed. So a year can bring a lot of changes, a decade can bring a lot more. And it often calls on this time of year for us to think about, where does that time go? How can we make the best of the life that we've been given? What's the purpose of my life? All are questions that come into our minds from time to time. And the writer of Ecclesiastes was just such a reflective thinker. He looked back on his life, and the conclusion that he came to was that most of life was meaningless. Ecclesiastes, if you read it, it can be a little bit depressing. So you might wonder why I chose to read it on the last Sunday of 2019. But in the midst of the melancholy, we find some wonderful gems of truth. And one such passage is the one that Rachel read for us, Ecclesiastes 4, 7 to 12. And it focuses on the importance of friendship. The writer starts out in verse 7 with one man, a successful businessman, who had accumulated a lot of wealth. On the face of it, you might think that he had it made. He had a good business and a healthy bank balance. But the writer tells us that this man was a solitary character, with no family, no friends. Yes, he was rich and he was successful, but he had no one to share his fortune with. And his life revolved around work, with no time for pleasure or for the companionship of others. He lived a sad and lonely existence. So often we can be fooled into thinking that a happy life lies in a successful career or a healthy bank balance. But the writer of Ecclesiastes wisely tells us that this is a miserable way to live. We only need to think of that character Scrooge to realise that wealth and success do not bring lasting happiness. Happiness lies in good relationships and in supportive friendships. Human beings are not created to be on our own. We are created for community, to be in relationship with one another and with our Creator God. We are created for friendship and companionship, for sharing and for caring with one another. But unlike the popularity of Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, success does not lie in the number of people we claim to be friends with, but the quality of our friendships with a smaller number of people. Friendship is not quantity of friends, but the quality of our friendship with other people. A study published in the Journal of the Royal Society of Open Science says that most people will be able to recognise about 1,500 people by sight. 500 of those will be acquaintances, 50 will be good friends. 15 will be best friends. And 5 will be our intimate friendships. Those friendships which run deep. The people we turn to in a crisis. The first people who will hear our good news. The first people who will hear of a tragedy. The people that you know who will really stick by you and help you in life. We all value good friendships, don't we? So maybe you'd like to take a moment and give thanks for those close, intimate friends that you have in your life. It is friendship that the writer of Ecclesiastes tells us is the meaning and quality of life. In 4 short verses, he tells us that friendship brings success, it brings support, it brings warmth, and it brings strength. Firstly, he tells us in verse 9 that friendship brings success. 2 are better than 1 because together they can work more effectively. And for those who have to tackle a job on their own that is heavy, there's such a relief when somebody walks around the corner and is able to give them a helping hand, and so they're able to achieve so much more. It's all about teamwork, isn't it? One person's idea sparks off another person's creativity that motivates others to get involved, and before we know it, the original idea has grown and achieved much more than we'd ever imagined. I know that we have benefited greatly in First Oma from the friendships of people working together in this last year, through the work of the Holiday Bible Club team, the Fellowship team, the Malawi team, the choir, to name but a few groups. I'm sure in your personal work and in your personal life, you will also have achieved many successes through the support and the encouragement of your friends and family working together. Success comes when friends work together for a common goal. So I hope and pray that in 2020 we will continue to build on the success we have achieved as a team of faithful followers of Jesus, working together to advance his kingdom and building up his people here in Oma. And I don't mean just those who do the upfront jobs, but the vital role of those who support, those who attend, those who encourage, those who motivate, those who pray, and those that do. So friendship is all about the support that we can give to one another. In verse 9, the writer tells us that if one person falls down, a friend will be there to help them up again. But if you're alone, there will be no one there to help you back on your feet. Friendship means being willing to give a helping hand when we fall in life. Friends are willing to rescue their friends. A true friend does not turn their back on someone when they fall on hard times or when they get things wrong. Instead, a friend is there to pick them up and to set them back on the right path. And we all fall at some stage or other, don't we? Whether that's a physical fall or an emotional fall, a spiritual fall or a moral fall. There are times when our lives fall apart. Times when we feel down. Times when we battle with sickness. I have a cold at the moment. Times when we've made the wrong decision. Times when we've messed things up. Times when we feel a failure. But true friendship is a friend who is willing to help us sort things out. To reach out a helping hand, to give wise advice, to offer forgiveness and a fresh start. Sometimes friends may have difficult and challenging things to say to us. Hopefully they'll do it in a sensitive manner. But as the scripture says, iron sharpens iron. So a friend sharpens the face of another. The iron was meant to be sharp so that it could do its work. And so as it casts off one another, then it actually makes the implement much stronger and more capable. And it's the same with us. Criticism might hurt a little bit, But when it's constructive criticism and it's given in love and it's for our benefit, then we will grow and strengthen as a result of it. So I hope and pray that in 2020 we will continue to help and support one another through those difficult times in life, providing a listening ear, offering a shoulder to cry on, an encouraging word or a helpful hand, a soft rebuke, and a heart of love and forgiveness. Thirdly, the writer of Ecclesiastes tells us that friendship brings warmth. If it's cold, then two people should huddle together for warmth, because how can one stay warm on their own? Surviving the cold nights out in the Israeli desert depended on friends, companions, soldiers, shepherds, keeping one another warm. We've all watched those disaster movies when people are abandoned in the Andes Mountains or in the middle of an avalanche and have to huddle together to keep warm. Friends are there to provide insulation or warmth in our lives when we're going through those difficult and challenging times. This year we had 13 deaths within the membership of our congregation, and many more people have lost loved ones who don't belong to this congregation. As I've visited with the bereaved families, many have told me how much they value the love, the support and the friendship of their church family in their time of grief. It doesn't make the grief disappear, but it helps them to bear it. We've also had a number of new families joining our congregation and a right few new baptisms. And many of those young families have told me that one of the reasons they've joined our congregation is because of the warmth of the welcome they've received as a young family living in our community. It's not a difficult thing to welcome people into our midst with a warm smile and a friendly greeting, to draw alongside someone and show them care and compassion in their time of need. I hope and pray that in 2020 we may be a congregation that is known for the warmth of its fellowship and will go and pick up a crying baby. Oh, wee man. Pick him up when he falls. There we go, practical example. And I hope that we'll be a congregation that's known for its warmth of its fellowship, not just to those who've been bereaved or to newcomers, but to every member of our congregation. It doesn't cost much to smile to someone, does it? And introduce yourself and get to know someone and make them feel welcome as part of this congregation. And finally, the writer reminds us that friendship provides us with strength. Two men can resist an attack that would defeat one man alone. No one likes to fight, do they? But sometimes in life we come under attack and we have to defend ourselves. And when that's the case and we're in a one-person battle against a group of others, even against one other, it's so good whenever we get the support and the strength of another friend to help us in our time of need. There can be many situations and circumstances where we can feel under attack, and it's good to know the support of friends and family. Attacks may not be physical in nature, but emotional or spiritual. So many people in our society today suffer with mental health issues. Others face trials and temptations that you may not be aware of. The old saying, a problem shared is a problem halved, is so true. Yet we find it so difficult to put that into practice, don't we? We need to be able to create a fellowship and a friendship circle here that people are able to share their problems and receive the support and the strength they need to overcome whatever challenge or difficulty they're going through. Friends who will provide us with courage when we feel afraid, with support when we feel isolated, and with strength when we feel weary. I hope and pray that in 2020 we will be a congregation who provides strength and courage and dignity to those who feel under attack, and that together we can support and strengthen one another in times of challenge. Earlier in the service, I talked about the friendship bracelet. It's a reminder to us of the strength that could be found in friendship, the friendship of family and of friends and of God Almighty himself. As I look back on the year that has passed, I'm grateful for the binds of friendship that have supported, encouraged, challenged and comforted and inspired me through the joys and sorrows of 2019. And I hope and pray that those bonds of friendship will also be a support, a strength and a comfort to others in the year that lies ahead. And that together we may know the strength, the success, the support and the warmth of our Heavenly Father, who binds us together in his unbreakable bond of love in Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord. So to finish, a challenge from Romans 12, verses 15 to 16, from the Message translation. Laugh with your friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. And don't try to be the great somebody. Amen. Your offerings to God will now be received. Almighty God, we give you thanks for all your good gifts to us. The gift of friendship, the gift of family, the gift of love. We especially thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray, O Lord, that you would take these, our thank offerings, and use them to share his love and his hope and his peace and his joy in our world in 2020. This we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We finish this service, the last service of 2019, reminding ourselves that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever, and that he will walk with us into the future. So we sing hymn 135. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forevermore. Amen.